You're listening to the weekend podcast of Palm Valley Church. We hope this message encourages you in your walk with Christ.
Well, good morning. Good to see you in church today. I was thinking about Jesus and his first interactions with the disciples and those that chose to follow him. And he gives them a very simple, yet clear, challenging invitation. He says, simply, come follow me. And when he gives these people this invitation, it doesn't matter where they're at in life. If you read through it, some of them are working their business. They're successful business owners, and they're going through life. And we believe that they would have gone and worshiped, and they were spiritual people. Others were under the influence of demons. And Jesus frees them, and then to them says, come and follow me. It's without any prejudice or anything. It's an open invitation. Just come follow me. And the first Christians, they weren't even known as Christians. They were known as followers of the way. And as you read through scripture and as you study the words of Jesus and the comments that people said about his teaching, one guy literally stops and says, when you teach like you have power. And you and I both know it's because Jesus, right? But there was something different about Jesus. There was something attractive about him. People flocked to him and they wanted to see the miracles, but they wanted to see what he was about, and they accepted this invitation to come and follow him. And this morning, I believe the invitation is still true for us as we enter this year and as we've come off just an incredible week of focus services and 21 days where we've pushed back a little bit more and continue to push back from things and prayer and fasting and continue to press in more. I believe that God is giving each one of us, regardless of where we're at in life, this same invitation to come and follow him. You see, it doesn't matter what you have done or haven't done, the invitation is yours. I believe that this year, God wants us to take steps closer to him, to deepen our roots, to grow close, to be more spiritual, if you could say it that way, but to walk closer with him. The Bible's pretty clear that God has a plan for each one of our lives. And a classic verse that many of us have known, maybe even it even hangs on our wall, it's found in the Old Testament, it's Jeremiah 29:11. It was spoken to Jeremiah and the nation of Israel, but I believe it rings true for us as well, that God has a plan. These plans for us are good. They're not to harm us, but they're to give us hope and a future. And this morning, if you're here and you feel without hope, or you feel like you've made a pretty good mess of your life, I just want you to know God has a plan. And the invitation is still true for you to come and follow him. Right? There is a way out. If you feel like there is no way out, there is a way out through Jesus Christ. If you're on the other end of the spectrum and life is good and this has been a great season, awesome. I believe the invitation is still true for you and true for me that there's more. There's another step. I don't want to stay stagnant in my faith. I want to grow closer to him. Do you? I want to deepen. I want to walk with God. I want to know him. Just like God has a plan for a life, there's also an enemy who wants to destroy that plan. In John chapter 10, verse 10, it's very clear. It says, there's a thief, and his purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, the Bible tells us that, and I tell us that this morning, not so that we can be afraid, because there's no cause for fear. We simply have to be aware of this, that while God loves us and he can guide us regardless of the circumstance in life, there is an enemy of our soul who comes to steal, kill, and destroy. And I get to work with students around here. It's one of the joys of my life, and I always tell them, I was like, hey, our enemy, Satan, it's a serious thing. He's not just a little cartoon character that sits on your shoulder and he's kind of, you know, red and pudgy with a little pitchfork. He kind of looks kind of cute. No, there's an enemy of our soul, and he's nasty, right? He comes against us, and he'll put temptation in our lives, and he'll send people to try and discourage us, and he'll bring drama to try and pull us down. Do you know this is true? Right? He comes against us, but hey, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. This is what 1 John 4:4 says. That we don't have to be afraid, we simply have to be aware. We have to be alert. In 1 Peter 5:8, it says just that, stay alert and watch out for your great enemy, the devil. Why? Because he prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. He's on the prowl. He is alive. He does have a little bit of power. And so our job is to be alert and be aware of this. Right? I picture an athlete playing sports, basketball, football, whatever the sport may be. You gotta be ready. You have to be alert whenever the play starts to happen. You can't stand flat-footed with arms crossed and, I'm ready, coach. No, you gotta be in an athletic position. Your eyes have to be up. You gotta be ready, or else just like that, it can take you out. This is the mindset that Paul is saying that we gotta go through life with. We don't have to be afraid, but we gotta be ready, right? Be alert. And again, 1 John 4:4, this is the best status update you'll ever get, by the way. Here we go. But you belong to God, my dear children. Let me say that one more time. You belong to God, my dear children. If you place your faith in him, you're brought into his family and you belong to him. Right? He adopts us into his family. We're not alone. We're not outcasts. We're forgiven of our sins and we're brought into him and we belong to him. So, based on that, you have already won a victory over those people because the spirit who lives in you is greater than the spirit who lives in the world. So God has a plan. There is an enemy, but God's spirit is in us and it's bigger. There is power in the name of Jesus. Philippians 4:13, you quote it with me, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So whatever comes our way this year or in life, it's big, it could be traumatic, I'm not belittling it, I'm just saying, if we depend on the Lord, we can overcome, we can make it through, there's hope in the name of Jesus. The disciples walked with Jesus and they had a front row seat to the stories that we read about. They were there, they literally saw the miracles. They saw Lazarus come back from the dead. They ate the bread and the fish that were multiplied. They were in the boat that was about to sink and then Jesus stands up and he calms the storm. And right before Jesus dies and comes back from the dead and ascends to heaven, he tells his disciples, his followers of the way. He says, hey, here's what's gonna happen. We find this in John 16:7. I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. Time out, stop, wait, what? Say that again, Jesus. How could it be to our advantage that you leave? We can see you, we can touch you, we've seen the miracles. It doesn't get better than having Jesus by your side. And yet Jesus is looking at them and says, no, it's actually better if I go away. Why? Because when I go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. The helper is the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God that we're talking about here. The promise is that God, Jesus, when he goes back to heaven, he sends his Holy Spirit to be with us, to walk with us, to help us, to encourage us, to teach us and instruct us. God has a plan. There's an enemy, but hey, there is a helper to see us through and guide us through. I don't know about you, but I want there to be a depth to my relationship with God. And I just believe that God in this season is calling not just me, but us as a church, that he's at work within us, that he wants us to grow, that he wants us to move forward. In the middle of our circumstance, he wants us to put down deep roots and grow closer to him. Yesterday, I was doing some yard work, and I have never planted weeds, but they're there. Is this true for you too? Oh, man. Now, the truth is, it's not hard to pick a weed. It's annoying. But you can go and with two fingers, you can pick a weed. You can get it out. But I've never gone up to a tree and picked a tree. Because trees are different than weeds. Trees, they're strong. They have deep roots. A storm could come and it's not going anywhere because there's a strength and a depth and a longevity to a tree. Every year we go to summer camp in Central Texas and there's beautiful trees there that have been there for years and years and there's just a strength to them. You run a car into them and you're gonna bounce off. They're not moving. And when I think of that, I'm reminded of this verse in Psalms chapter 1. It talks and it uses a tree as an illustration. It says, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, who meditates on his law day and night. In other words, somebody, you and I, who spend time in God's word, that walk with the Lord, that make it a point to connect with him, that come to church and worship him, there's this deepening and this strength about this person. Look at verse 3. This person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields fruit in season, whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prosper. Our bodies can waste away, but there can be a rejuvenation and a growth spiritually within us where we put down deep roots. We're spiritually speaking, we're not gonna wither away. When a storm of life comes our way, we're not moving, right? Bring the wind, bring this, we got deep roots. Don't you want that? Man, I want that. As I said, we've been in this season of 21 days and praying, fasting, focus services and everything. Listen, I don't want that to be the highlight of our year. I want that to be the launching pad into this year. I don't want to look back and just, you know, in Christmas say, man, January is pretty good. No, like I want to go and I want to, and I just feel that we are to move forward in our relationship with God. Amen? Let's put down some deep roots. A few weeks ago, at the end of last year, we did an amazing series called Start Strong, Get Better, and Finish Well. Remember that one? Our key passage in that was found in Hebrews chapter 12, which says, "Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses of the faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set out before us." Now, when I read this verse, I think of a track athlete. In our student ministry, we have a lot of people that run cross country and track. And I've gone to some meets to go and support students, and I've never, ever seen a student go to the starting line of a track meet with a backpack on. Have you? Not a rhetorical question. Have you ever seen, like, this isn't what, you know, they don't walk up, "Coach, I'm ready to run. Put me on the line." Like, not, this doesn't make sense. Track athletes, they spend money on shoes that weigh next to nothing. Their uniforms have no extra fabric, right? They don't want anything to get in the way or hinder them from getting the fastest time possible. That's the goal, right? I'm gonna run the race to the best of my ability. Even if you're the favorite or you're just trying to do whatever, you don't want any extra weight. And so they don't go to the starting line with luggage saying, "I'm gonna run fast while dragging this thing with me." That doesn't make sense. We get this. But think about what this passage of scripture says. That spiritually speaking, God, remember, he has a plan. He's laid out a path for us. There's a way for us to live, and he wants us to move forward, and he wants us to go fast. And I don't know about you, but I feel a deep sense of responsibility to be who God wants me to be and to do what God wants me to do. I'm to parent my kids. I'm to be an amazing husband, the best that I can be. God, that's God's plan for my life, right? I get the privilege of leading our student ministry. I don't want to be a lid on our student ministry. I want to do whatever God wants me to do. I want to move forward. And I understand, and this is the truth, I could limit God's work in my life by my choice whether or not to bring baggage with me or to leave it behind. And that's a scary thought. I think about that often. I don't want habits, definitely as it says in Hebrew, I don't want sin to hold me back, but I don't want things. It says sin, but also just anything that could hinder an overcommitment. I'm amazed at just how busy our students are. And it's all good things, but I have conversation with them sometimes. I'm like, okay, you're not just involved in an extracurricular activity. You're involved in like six, right? And I can't come to church. I'm so busy. I'm like, well, maybe you need to think about that. Could it be that something potentially good is holding you back? Families need time together. We need to be together. We need to be able and have enough flexibility in our schedule to come to church, to worship together. These things are important. And could it be that there's something that's, it's not bad, but it's holding us back and keeping us from who God wants us to be? I was thinking about this thought, and I was reading in the Old Testament, in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 10. And this is the part of scripture where the Israelites come to God and they say, "We want a king." And there's a whole long story. Eventually, God picks a man named Saul to be the very first king of Israel. His job, God's plan, is that Saul would lead this nation to worship God, that he would be the spiritual leader of this land. God had a plan for Saul. And so in this moment, when literally they're going to crown him as king, he has been chosen by God, they go looking for him, and we'll pick up the story. 1 Samuel 10, 21. It says, "Finally, Saul, son of Kish, was chosen from among them. But when they looked for them, he had disappeared." Verse 22. "So they asked the Lord, 'Where is he?' And the Lord replied, 'He is hiding among the..." Interesting. God has a plan for Saul. An amazing plan. Huge potential to do great things for him. And just like in Hebrews, we see Saul... he's hiding among the baggage. It's almost, do you get the picture? God's saying, "No, Saul, come out from the baggage. Leave that stuff behind. We got things to do. You got a kingdom to lead. There's an impact that you can have." And I just sense God saying that to us is like, hey, he's got a plan. Let's let some stuff go. Could be a sin, could be an overcommitment, could be just a distraction, but like leave that behind. Don't hide amongst the baggage. Don't live in the baggage. Don't live in the drama. Right? Leave that behind. Let's go. Let's be who God wants us to be. Let's lead our families well. Let's be good friends to each other, encourage each other. I read through Galatians this week. Just in Galatians, right? It talks about the importance of just encouraging each other and being with others. And I'm just like, man, that's what I want to be. I want to love God with all my heart, and I want to be an encourager of people. I want to be a good husband. I want to be a good parent. I want to be a good pastor. I want to have deep roots. And I just feel, and hopefully you get it this morning too, like that's the life God wants us to live. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be trials and temptations. I get it. But greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. He's calling us to something deeper. So let's go forward. Amen. There's a responsibility that you and I have. Jesus illustrated it this way in the New Testament. He told the parable, or the story known as the parable of the talents. There was a master who had three servants. He gave a bunch of talents, which is a measurement of money, to one. He gave about half to the next, and then to another guy, the last guy, he gave one. And the point of the story is not the amounts. It's what did they do with what they were given? The master goes away for a long time, comes back, and says, okay, what'd you do with what I gave you? The first guy stewarded it well. He invested it. He worked. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. Next guy, same thing. Third guy, what'd you do with what I gave you? Nothing. He didn't work. He didn't use what was given to him. And the master replies, Matthew 25, he says, you wicked and lazy servant. That was the perspective. It's not how much, it's what you do with what you had. And it's easy for us to compare ourselves to others and say, well, they have the potential to do more, or their family's awesome, or they have a good job, and I don't. Not the point. What are you doing with what God has entrusted to you? There's a sense of responsibility. Like, I have to live my life well for the honor and the glory of God, regardless of talent that I have or don't have, financial resources that I have or don't have. All of us have health. You're here today. It may not be optimal, but you're here today. You're breathing. All of us have time. All of us do have potential to help others. Let me tell you a story. I was blessed with a wonderful heritage. My grandmother on my dad's side, Marion Crump, she was a nurse her whole life, raised three kids. She's just a wonderful lady. She was feisty for Jesus, you know those kinds? Like, she wasn't letting you get away with anything. She's like, God spoke to me and he told me what you did last week. Sorry, one of those kind of people. In her last years, as physically her body was slowing down, she became hunched over, she didn't get out that much. I remember, this is years ago, she had a home computer with the screen, and she had a list of about 30 different missionaries. She couldn't type. She typed like this, right? Finger picking. She would sit down, and she would pray every day. She would pray for those missionaries, and she would send emails, AOL, dial-up, right? She would send emails, just encouraging verses to these people. And at her funeral, we heard so many stories from those people. Just, your grandmother kept us going. She had nothing to give. She was poor, but she had so much to give in that she prayed. She was a prayer warrior. That's a lady that even in the latter part of her life stewarded her time and her energy and ability well. My grandma on my mom's side, very simple woman, central Oklahoma, literally lived on her farm most of her life, raised 10 children, my mom being one of them. At the end of her life, my memory of her is as an elderly woman whose knuckles were swollen with arthritis and moved around real slow. But man, she loved Jesus. Every Sunday, she was physically able. She went to the church in town, made the trip on a dirt road, got there. She would sing. She had a beautiful voice. She loved Jesus. Instead of just going home and watching Price is Right all day, she made a decision. She's like, I'm going to do what I can to help others. And she had a connection, and she figured out that there were some people that were needy, that needed blankets, like missionaries that were passing out blankets in Central America. And she says, well, I know how to sew, and my fingers still work good enough. And so well into her 90s, talking like 92, 93 years old, as long as she was physically able, she made quilts for missions. And that was her deal. We're talking hundreds of these things a year. Her sitting in her room, in her farmhouse, just sewing away. I can imagine her singing and praying as she did that. She could have just mailed in it. She raised 10 kids, like retire. Come on, coast in. You did good. But no, she's like, I'm gonna do something. I'm gonna make quilts for missions. I can still physically do this. I'm gonna do this. And I admire that so much about her. She had a responsibility. She felt responsible to do something else to help others so challenges me. Last week, I was with a new friend of mine. His name's Steve. He's in his 70s now. He owns a company that handles investments and very successful businessman. But as I was talking to him, it became very evident. It's not just about the business. It's about the people. And he told me story after story how he sits at his desk, which, yes, is a place of business, but really it's a place of ministry. And he sits across the desk from people that are trying to get their kids through college, or they're dealing with aging parents and trying to take care of them. And he ministers to them. His staff, he views it, yeah, we got a job to do, but it's a place of encouragement. And he said this, he's like, Micah, as I get older, things that were so important to me before just feels like less and less is becoming really, really important. And let me tell you what I really feel challenged by God to do, Micah. I feel really challenged by God to live out the greatest commandment. To love God with all my heart and care for people. And I just want to make Jesus attractive. I'm not trying to be pushy. I'm just trying to model and set an amazing example. 45 minutes after talking to Steve, I felt like a better person. I felt so challenged. I'm like, there's a guy who understands. It's not just about making a dollar sign. He's done all that. He's moved beyond into really helping and ministering to people. Why? Because there's a sense of responsibility. I'm going to use my life for something that counts. I think of the story that Jesus told. It's like, you can build your life on sand or you can build your life on the rock. We've all made sandcastles at the beach. They're getting taken out in one wave. Sand doesn't work, right? But if we choose to build our life on rock, it's going to be something that lasts spiritually. I want my life to count, don't you? I want to make a difference in this world. I want to be somebody that my kids can look up to, that your kids can look up to. I want to do that. And that takes daily work. That takes following God's leading. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15, it says this. It's a warning. It says, be very careful then how you live, not as unwise, but as wise, making the most of every opportunity because the days are evil. Be very careful then how you live. One of the things that I talk to our students about a lot, and I'm going to bring it up this morning, is that this time period, since 2007 till now, nobody in history has lived like we do. In 2007, they created the iPhone. And about 2012 is really when the internet started getting fast and companies started taking advantage of this, and social media went from a desktop to an app. And there's this whole industry geared towards our attention, right? Because the more we're on a phone or a tablet or on a screen, the more we're looking and scrolling and shopping and everything, the more that they're making. It's a business strategy. Did you know there's a reason why your alerts are red? You get a text message, it's red. It's not purple or pink, it's red. Because red means danger, danger. You have to check this because they want you to go and check that thing, and you get that little notification on Facebook. You're like, what was it? Right? It's this, they're playing on our makeup. They've gone to Las Vegas and gotten all the research, the slot machines, and basically we're walking around with slot machines in our pocket, right? We check them constantly. We don't have to. If you left your phone at home for a day, you would survive, believe it or not. Right? You can breathe without that thing. But it's wired for our attention. And I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying it is what it is. Okay? So here we go. I'm at a restaurant a few days ago, just like you've seen. There's a large family sitting across the way from us. I look over, they're all together, but they're not together. Everybody's got a screen out, literally. Everybody had a screen out. There wasn't conversation. They're sitting in close proximity, but there was no bond. There wasn't conversation. And I'm sure they've had other conversations. Don't hear what I'm not saying, but I am saying this. I got a responsibility to God for the way I live my life. And I don't want to miss moments with him or with you, definitely not with my family or with my kids, because I'm distracted by a screen. I don't want to do that. It's not that important. God doesn't care about the game score. He doesn't care what level I'm on. He doesn't care about a status update. No, what's most important is the relationships that we have in life. A word to the parents that are in the room. Your kids need you. Regardless of their age, they need you. And they need you to be present. You can't have a halfway conversation while you're doing this and, yeah, what's up? Okay, yeah, let's have a deep, meaningful moment. Hang on, let me check. It doesn't work that way. Eye contact is important, hearing them out. And it's hard, especially the little ones or any of them, right? Your issues are big. You got bills to pay and stuff going on, and they have like friend drama, and it's like, get over it. No, it's important to them, right? Their brains, it's important to them. Engage them, talk to them, coach them through it. Parenting is work, but it's awesome. The potential and the responsibility given to us by God to form our kids. let's not miss it because we're on a phone. Let's not miss it because discipleship happens in the home, right? The example that we set, the conversations that we have, it's so important. If you have teenagers, keep parenting them. It's changed, it's different. They act like they're not listening to you, but they are. They are. Keep working it, keep saying it, encourage, build up, instruct, guide. For the grandparents in the room, every week I have a conversation with a student who mentions a grandparent. You still have so much influence in their life. Work with your kids to disciple your grandkids. Don't work against them. Work with them. Be a support. Aunts, uncles, friends, older brothers. There's so much potential and I believe responsibility that you have to influence for good. And I just want to challenge you this morning. Take advantage of that. Be present in their lives. In our relationship with God, right? It takes time. It takes us daily setting aside some time to connect with him, to worship, to sit in silence, to pick up the Bible and read it. Did you know I have never regretted reading the Bible? Anytime I've turned the TV off or just put some time in my schedule to open God's word and read a chapter, I've never closed it and said, well, that was a waste. No. Never. I'm always better for it. I'm always encouraged, convicted. But even in conviction, you feel better. You feel stronger. You're like, God spoke to me, right? I'm getting better. Moving on. I've never turned on a worship song and just sat and sang along because I can't sing. But, you know, with help, iTunes, thanks. You go and you sing along. Just a complete waste of time. Thanks. Do you remember when your kids were little? Some of you, it's been a minute, but... Right, and maybe you got home from work and you get down and you're ready for them and you're just wanting them to run into your arms. You pick them up and give them a hug. You remember that moment? It's so cool. Do you also remember the moment where you're ready and they come running and they get distracted and go somewhere else and you're left there like, okay. My kids do that to me sometimes and I don't get angry. I wish they would come though. And I think God, anytime we do that, anytime we get distracted or we get so busy, we forget about him. I don't think he's angry. I think he's just like, I wish he'd come. Come hang out. Come hang out. Put some deep roots down. Let's grow. Let's walk together. Let's be together. Remember, his invitation is for us to come and follow him and to be with him, to experience his presence. Growing up, we talked about that a lot. Just being in the presence of God. It's a wonderful place to be. I love worshiping with you and singing along with you and just being together. It's a spiritual thing. I'm going to end with this passage. It's pretty clear and it makes sense to me. So this will be our closing challenge this morning. The book of Galatians chapter 6 starts out by stating fact. It says, don't be deceived. God can't be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. We live amongst agriculture down here and we understand this principle. If you plant oranges, you don't get watermelons, right? You get what you plant. A man reaps what he sows. And so the choice, as it's laid out in verse 8, is this. Whoever sows to please their flesh, from the flesh will reap destruction. But whoever sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit will reap eternal life. The choice is ours. Are we going to grow closer to God? Are we going to leave some of this behind? Or are we going to keep hanging out over here? The sin that so easily ensnares us and entangles us. If we continue to do this, well, that leads to destruction. But if we can let it go and we move closer to God, you worship, you pray, you get in the right relationships, you join a group, you do whatever it takes, but you begin to pour into yourself spiritually and you grow closer to God. The promise of Scripture is if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us. He's waiting. He's waiting, right? And then verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we'll reap a harvest if we don't give up. It is possible for you to have a wonderful relationship with God. Let me say it again. It is possible. It is not for the select few. Jesus' invitation is for all to come and follow him. If you walked in this morning and guilt is on you, one prayer of faith, giving all of your past mistakes to God, that is gone as far as the east is from the west, the Bible says. And you can have a wonderful relationship with God. If you've walked with God for many years, as so many of you have, I believe he's calling us, come a little closer. Give me another hug. Dad is waiting. Come walk with me. Come be with me. I don't want this month of January, said it before. I don't want this to be the highlight of the year. I want this to be the launching pad into this year. Amen? Amen. Amen. Just stand with me. So Palm Valley Church, thank you for your attention this morning. You guys are awesome. I love our church. Love being with you. And I just want to encourage you this morning that, man, if we sow good things, and if we leave behind some baggage, this will be an unbelievable year. God has a plan for you. There is an enemy, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world, and we can overcome. Amen? Amen. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.
We hope you enjoyed this message today. Don't miss out on next week's teaching. You can subscribe to us on iTunes and keep up to date with what's happening at palmvalleychurch.com.